You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Chris Hipkins.
Morena, Prime Minister. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Good. It's a bit cold up here in Tamaki Makaurau, but it's good to be able to chat. Last time we spoke with you was the day before the budget announcement, so let's start there. It's been a lot of very sort of well-received headline items, particularly removing the prescription charge, the public transport changes to allow more people to travel for free or for cheaper. But what's some things that you personally feel, besides the headlines, have been important to you about this budget that you'd like to sort of make sure people see in this?
Probably one of the number one things, or the number one thing, and actually it's the most difficult to explain, is that the way the government's balanced the budget, we're getting inflation pointing back down in the right direction. So the thing that's affecting everybody the worst at the moment is the fact that every time they go to the supermarket, every time they fill up the car, the price of everything is going up too fast. So we've had inflation, it peaked at about 7.3 or 7.4%, and normally it would be somewhere between 1 to 3%. And so the result of that is that the prices have been going up so fast, and even if people's incomes have been going up, they haven't noticed the difference from that. So getting inflation back down again is probably the number one accomplishment of this budget. All the forecasts have got inflation pointing back down. We're getting back into that kind of lower range of inflation, certainly by the second half of next year. But actually by the end of this year, we should be sort of getting back to something that's more manageable.
That's a good thing to hear. I'm sure a lot of people will be feeling relieved about that. But in the meantime, I think there's still a little bit of frustration that the supermarkets are still taking quite a profit in a time like this. Is this something that your government is still looking to put some fetters on?
Yeah, we've done a lot already in that area. We've got a grocery regulation system, being set up now. We want more competition in supermarket trade in particular. We've only got really two major supermarket operators in New Zealand. That's Countdown and the various other brands that coalesce around foodstuff, so Pack and Save, New World, Foursquare. And as a result, there isn't enough competition. And so we want more competition. That's going to help to avoid issues around excess profits and so on.
Now, I've got to say, when we spoke to you the day before the budget, I did ask you about arts and how that was going to be addressed. And you said it's a thing your government, you know, cares about, takes very seriously. And then we didn't really see much in that budget for the arts sector beyond perhaps gaming and a little bit for film. But that has been a pretty disappointing thing for our listenership. What can the Labour Party promise to the arts sector, to the music sector, are they going to be doing to support them heading into the election this year? Are you going to be announcing any policy?
Well, actually, one of the areas where you did see significant support in the budget, and it's that intersection between arts and indigeneity, was a significant increase in funding for Te Mata Tini, which is, I think, one of our greatest indigenous artistic shows. I think it's
absolutely
really, really valuable.
Absolutely. No one is denying that. But Matatini's had a really strong campaign this year for making sure it's been visible that their issues have been heard. But the rest of the arts have been suffering along getting their stuff done, and not necessarily seeing the same support. So do you have to be the loudest voice on the internet to get heard by this government when it comes to arts funding?
No, absolutely not. We continue to talk to with each of the sort of the main arts organisations, case by case, to identify how best to address any issues that they might be facing in terms of their sustainability and so on. They tend to be conversations that happen outside of the budget process, although they clearly inform budget decisions, and we'll continue to do that.
So just to come back to what I asked before, are we going to see any policy from Labor leading into the election that specifically pertains to arts?
Oh, absolutely. We'll have a full manifesto before the election, and there'll certainly be a chapter on the arts, something we see really valuable.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that one when we hear a bit more about it, but let's talk a wee bit about the headlines in this last week. It's not been great for senior cabinet ministers, particularly Michael Wood and Jan Tinetti have been in the papers a lot for reasons that I'm sure have been frustrating internally and externally for the Labor Party. What reassurances do you have that things are on the right track for your central leadership team at the moment?
Well, Jan Tinetti made a mistake in terms of not correcting an answer that she gave in Parliament. The reality is, in the cut and thrust of question time, from time to time, people will get things wrong. I get things wrong. Everybody gets things wrong. And I think the quickest thing to do is just to say, actually, you know, in hindsight, that answer was incorrect and correct it. That does happen, and actually it's important that we continue to allow that to happen. Jan didn't do that, and I think that was a mistake, and I think she's owned up and owned that mistake. She's admitted the mistake, and as a result, I'm confident that she won't make the same mistake again. In terms of Michael Wood's shareholdings, you know, there are still questions about that, so we're working through that with him at the moment. He's divested the shares, he's sold them, but he should have sold them well before then.
Confidence-wise, if he's going to step back into that role of Transport Minister, what do you think needs to be done to earn back some trust from the public in that space?
Well, there's currently an investigation by the Registrar for Pecuniary Interest, so that's the person who looks at members of Parliament's conflicts of interest or potential conflicts of interest. So I've said that I'll just withhold any further judgment on that until that investigation's complete.
Well, let's talk education then, because that's also been a tense space in the last wee while, secondary particularly and tertiary as well. Looking at secondary, we're seeing the rolling strike action carry on. The secondary school union has been rejecting the offers that have come through. What's the conversation at now? Where's the next step for this?
So the secondary teachers are in facilitated bargaining with the Ministry of Education. That means effectively there's a third-party referee working through the bargaining process with them. I'd encourage them to continue to do that in good faith. We hope that we can find a resolution. We worked through a process with the Primary Teachers Union where we were able to find a resolution with them. You know, they've accepted the offer that was presented to them. I hope the secondary teachers, we can get to that same point through the facilitated bargaining process.
It is taking a longer time, though, and there is a lot of frustration and anger in the sector as well. What's being done to mitigate that particular sense at the moment, that feeling that's going on?
Well, really the only thing the government can do is facilitated bargaining. So that means that you've got a referee bringing the two sides together and trying to find a resolution. I would, you know, suggest that while that process is underway, strike action isn't in the best interests of teachers or the children who they work with. So I'd encourage them not to take strike action while we're in facilitated bargaining.
Well, how are they supposed to have their voices heard then? Beyond, obviously, facilitated bargaining is a process, yes, but this is to get public sentiment on side as well, surely. What would you suggest in place of strike action, perhaps?
I think all of the population want to see teachers being paid more. I don't think that public sentiment is necessarily going to be enhanced by teachers taking more strike action. I think our kids have already missed a lot of school over the last 3 years, and I don't think that further strike action is being welcomed by anybody.
Isn't it just highlighting the crisis, though?
It's highlighting that teachers want to be paid more. You know, the offer on the table at the moment would see most secondary school teachers earning over $100,000 a year in their base salary. I think that, you know, we have to be mindful that the government's never going to be able to give teachers all of the money that they want.
Well, let's talk tertiary education as well. This has also been a very tense space recently. We've just seen a massive public letter which includes signatories like Helen Clark, former Prime Minister, and many other, I guess, luminaries of our academic space in Aotearoa, calling for the government to step in to support the tertiary education sector and save the tertiary education sector. Where is the conversation at from a government perspective about how the relationship between tertiary education and the government is standing?
We've put the biggest increase, this year's budget put the biggest increase in funding into tertiary education in 20 years. So we acknowledge that, you know, finances are tight there. That doesn't mean the institutions get off the hook as well. You know, they've seen declining enrolments, and they also have to look carefully at the things that they are choosing to spend money on to make sure that they're directing that into the best, you know, the most important things. We'll continue to talk with the universities about how we can support them through what is a difficult period, because not only is there, you know, rising costs and rising, you know, pressure on salaries, there is also the issue of declining enrolments, and governments can't continue to fund indefinitely places where students aren't taking them up, and so we have to make sure that we're working through that with them.
So what does that conversation look like in terms of working out perhaps why enrolments are dropping? Is that something that the government's interested in being involved in the conversation on?
Well, the number one reason that enrolments are dropping is that the labour market's very strong and people can go directly into quite well-paid employment without going to university first. And in many cases, people are choosing to do things like apprenticeships, for example, which means they get paid while they're learning. they're choosing to do that rather than going into university. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We need more tradespeople. And so I think universities will need to consider how best they can adapt to that. That's not actually for us to tell them. Universities operate autonomously from the government in terms of what they deliver, in terms of what they offer to prospective students. I think it's important that they keep doing that.
Well, you've obviously had a very strong relationship with the tertiary education sector. I mean, when you're a student, you're a big part of the student politics space as well. Is it something that concerns you on a personal level, the way that the tertiary education sector is struggling at the moment?
Oh, of course, you know, I want to see our universities thriving. I think that's going to be good for the country overall. So, you know, we continue to talk to them.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
No worries. Cheers.
That was What's Up, our weekly catch-up with Prime Minister Chris Hipkins.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.